Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Chess, and I've got a dinner in the movie, a Nutty Bites dinner in a movie for you tonight for the dog days of podcasting. Now, I have already recorded this, or at least part of it. I recorded the intro. I was doing a cooking with Nuke Chess thing. You were going to listen to me cook the meal that I'm pairing, and it didn't work out. I got a phone call halfway through, and so it didn't work. And I guess recording via Boss Jock, I would have had to not answer the phone, but it was too important for me to ignore that phone call, and so it cut off halfway through. I thought I came back. I thought it would work. It didn't work. So, this is me recording it later. So, tonight I'm going to give you a spoiler-free review of Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Originally I was going to do something else, but I've changed my mind and I'm doing this. So of course the meal isn't going to really match up, but that's okay. I'll get back to the other one at a later time. So yeah, I'm going to give you a spoiler-free review of the show Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23, which is an older show. I think it came out a couple of years ago. And I basically watched it because it had Kristen Ritter in it. And she played Jessica Jones and a bunch of other characters in other shows that I liked. And I really enjoyed her. And I've been listening to the We Don't Want to Wait podcast that's been going over Dawson's Creek. That's with Robin and Steph. And James Vanderbeek plays himself in that show. And it's actually pretty funny. I refused to watch it when it was on TV because And I still believe this. If you can't say the swear word in the title of your show, don't make the swear word the title of your show. And the title for this show is very, very bad. They should have come up with a better one. And so the fact that it kept me away just goes to show you the poor planning. I'm just going to take a sip of some fine Lady Grey iced tea. You know what they say about the fifth glass of Lady Grey iced tea of the day. It's always the best. So there's a couple of problems with this show. And this becomes much more evident in season two than in season one. They show things out of order. They have some continuity, and then they show things out of order. So you think you're watching one thing, and then, you know, something happens in an episode, and then the next episode that doesn't show up, and then you realize, oh, because somehow this was supposed to be in season one, and now it's in season two, and that doesn't make any sense at all. And there's this whole subplot where James Vanderbeek is going on Dancing with the Stars and competing against Dean Cain. And so we finish with that whole subplot in the first season, and it keeps popping up in the second season because I guess they didn't finished their episodes, or they showed them out of order, or whatever they ended up doing. It's insane and obnoxious, and I can't stand it. So this show is completely junk TV. This is the kind of thing that you throw on when you're doing other things, or you're about to fall asleep, or you don't really want to pay too much attention, and you put this on. And it's totally trash, absolutely trash, but it's a total guilty pleasure right now. I am absolutely enjoying it, and Kristen Ritter is fantastic in it, and I love it. And James Vanderbeek playing James Vanderbeek is actually really, really great. And there's a couple other characters that are fun, but really, it's just completely absurd, and it makes no sense, and I have a lot of fun watching it, and I feel like this is not the kind of thing that I would like, but I'm enjoying it. And sometimes that happens, you know, sometimes you watch something and you know that it's not your kind of thing, but you can't help but enjoy it. So that is Don't Trust the Bee in 23. And we're going to pair that with some quesadillas. So what I did tonight is I made some nice quesadillas. Originally, they were going to be vegetarian, but then my husband told me that he was able to come home for dinner. He's out in the field for 6 weeks training a bunch of troops, and so he doesn't come home. And he actually got a couple hours off, so he could come home for dinner. So I had to add meat to it because he is a meatitarian. He would eat all those other things, but without the meat. And he's like, where's my food? Why don't you feed me? And so I cooked up some meat. He's the one that called and interrupted the recording. So I cooked up some meat to go with it. First I made some guacamole. I actually made it without garlic this time, just because I've been having a little heartburn. And it worked out pretty well. I just had to adjust the salt and pepper and the lime juice a little bit more without the garlic. I just had to change it up just a little, and it's still pretty good. So I made the guacamole. I had these tiniest avocados ever, but they were pretty good. And I made that up, and then I took some refried beans, and I put that in a pot. And then I took some salsa, and I put that in with the refried beans, mixed that up, heat that up, got to cook that nice and good. Because refried beans comes out like this clay type paste, and then you cook it up and you add the salsa to add a little more, like a little spicier flavor. And, you know, you add some of that spicy salsa, add a little spicy flavor, and it changes the consistency. And then you have to cook it also just to like cook the beans. And then you got this good goopy mixture, almost not quite a sauce, but a little closer to sauce than clay, and you're good to go. So then I take my tortilla, and I just put a little bit, just a tiny bit of butter on the outside. I've been using my cast iron skillet, so I heat that up. I put the tortilla in, butter side down. I put a bit of the refried beans. Then I had taken the meat that I cooked. I took extra lean ground meat, and I used taco seasoning and cooked that up. And then I put that on top of the refried beans. And then I shred some cheese over top. And then I put the other tortilla on top, just a little butter on that side. Flip it, bing, bang, boom, you're done. Once you're done, you take it off, you cut it into fours using a pizza cutter. Then you put your guacamole on top, you put your salsa on top, and you are good to go. Oh, and one thing I forgot to mention. So say you've made too much guacamole. I know, it's weird. Apparently there is such a thing as making too much guacamole. Normally I think it's like a single-use thing, but when it's just me, there can be too much guacamole. So what you do is you take your old guacamole and you put it in a jar or a container, and you keep the pits, okay? You want the pits from the avocados, and you put them in with your guacamole, and that will prevent it from turning brown. Another thing you can do is you can take like lime juice and you put it on some saran wrap and you press the saran wrap against the guacamole. That helps as well. But then you're starting to add lime, more lime juice flavor into your guacamole, so it can change the flavor a little bit. So like if you're making it ahead of time for a party, use a little bit less of the lime juice, and then you do that, and then you don't have to worry about it being brown. But the avocado seeds trick, that almost always seems to work too. So there you go. You got your dinner and a movie, and you got a little tip there. So I also was rambling on in response to David Jacobs about all the different things that he had gone through. And I just wanted to mention, I do remember early Photoshop. I think it was like Photoshop 2 or something. I don't remember that I first took a course on in university. As I had mentioned previously, I got really into computers because of chatting. And then I got into that in my field of study, which was really great. So I remember when layers weren't really layers. And I remember when finally we got the ability to make text layers, that you could make the layer of text, leave it, and then come back and edit it later. Whereas earlier, once you set your text, it was done. You'd have to redo text in order to fix that. So I remember those early days. I don't remember what Illustrator it was. It was always a higher number, though, because I think Illustrator came out first. And Quark, that was the other class that I took. And Quark was always far superior to PageMaker. Adobe kept pushing the PageMaker, but it just wasn't good enough. I know many print shops that if anyone had sent them anything in PageMaker, they charged them a bunch just to convert it to Quark, because none of their machines were set up for that. I loved Quark, and I was never going to leave it, except they kind of shot themselves in the foot, because they didn't really update as Apple updated and changed their structure into a Unix system for OS X, and they kind of got left behind. And that left a big gaping hole for when Adobe bought Macromedia, and then they created InDesign, which is basically Quark with an easier user interface. And so, yeah, that's what I use now. That's pretty much what everybody uses now. Although many places that I worked at, they kept around the classic systems because they used Quark. And it took a really long time. Like, a lot of print shops I know would have classic environments and classic machines just because of Quark. And so there was a lot of transferring back and forth and stuff. So it did take a while for things to get over. But, yeah, eventually Adobe won. You know, only took them a couple decades. But it worked. I remember learning all of those things. I remember, so my university had those courses that I mentioned. They did not have anything with Macromedia. And I remember when Macromedia came out. So I taught myself all of that. I taught myself the HTML on GeoCities and all of that. And I'm very fortunate that I did, because that's where things were headed. I mean, when I was going through university, nobody knew that we were going to be doing everything by computers when I started. And when they started teaching computer courses, they never expected that we'd be making web pages and that would be a new publishing format. Nobody took that seriously. So I'm really fortunate that I put my nose to the grindstone and I figured that stuff out. And I've always been able to stay on top of the ball or ahead of the ball on that. And it's been very beneficial. I am the person that makes things pretty. I cannot create, you know, my own programs or write my own scripts or anything like that, but I can adapt code. I can adapt PHP, and I can definitely, you know, do all the CSS and the HTML and all that other stuff, but I'm not like creating my own stuff and my own programs. I just know how to make everything look good. And as long as I can make it look good and work pretty good, I'm good. And anything that's really complex, well, somebody else has built it. And I'll just use what somebody else has used. And that's how I've been able to stay going here. But yeah, I remember all of those things, even though I'm likely a bit younger than you are. But if you think about the fact that I've been working with this industry for the last 20 years, yeah, I think like next February, I'll be professionally probably 20 years, because I started professionally before I graduated. I got a job at a promotional company before I graduated, and I was working with print shops and everything, so that I had experience when I graduated. I was one of those people, you know? I had the job that paid the bills, I had the job that was going to give me the experience, and then I had like a couple extra, I had like three jobs going to school, and then I went to school and was fighting to make Dean's List. It was tricky. And commuting. Uphill. Both ways. So there you go. Dog days. I think this is the 10th episode. Yeah. So I'll talk to you tomorrow. Ah, Lady Grey iced tea. Mmm. Delicious.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.